All kinds of things going on, including a presentation tomorrow at the Little Panada Theater in Sandpoint, Idaho at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. It's OWL, A Year in the Lives of North American Owls. With such a fascinating preamble, we need to find out all about it. And here is the person who has created it, Paul Bannock. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Vern.
And how did you start out? Photographer, biologist? What's the core of the journey that you're on?
Well, my earliest memories as a young boy were discovering nature all around me, whether it be a frog in a puddle or whether it be a bird calling in the backyard. And there was a wetland and grassland behind my home
in
Washington State.
Oh, in Washington State.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was noticing every day how a lot of the animals that I had come to love were disappearing. And I was too young to understand initially that it was the development occurring. But I saw the tractors and the bulldozers, and I saw them drain the wetland. And I became alarmed. And I was a little guy, and I didn't know, how do I deal with this? And my father was working in communications at Boeing, and he used a camera in his job. So I started taking pictures of these animals, and people started paying attention as I told their stories. And since then, I've been trying to get better at compelling people to pay attention by creating unique images.
And so currently it's birds. Has it always been birds, or has it been the array of wildlife and the natural world?
It's been everything from people and culture and the way they interact with the environment, salamanders and frogs, landscapes. But for the last 15 years, 16 years, it's been mostly birds. And the reason is, Vern, that birds have such a diversity of shapes and colors and calls and habitat niches that they fill, that they allow us to, if we pay attention, those variables tell us about their habitat, the shape of the bill, the color of the wings, whatnot. And in a way, they're like a colorful flag waving in the air, begging us to pay attention.
So that also allows you a lot of avenues for real great artistic expression too, doesn't it?
It really does, and it is ever challenging. They don't sit still. They don't perch in the dark blue sky very often. Oftentimes I'm in Seattle and they're against a white cloud or the white sky. And they're constantly moving, and they challenge you to anticipate what they'll be doing and where they will be, and to try to imagine the composition of a potential photograph, and then set yourself up to take advantage of that.
Yeah, we could just see, oh, there's a pretty picture. Oh, he just snapped his camera, and probably that represents hours of effort in many cases, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. So this OWL, of the birds you've done, have you been doing owls for a while?
I hesitate to use the word. I've been focused on owls, mm-hmm. but indeed I have mm-hmm. been focused mm-hmm. on owls ever since I surprisingly found a saw-whet owl while I was leading a navigation class for the Seattle Mountaineers back in probably 2001. And since then, owls have really grabbed my attention. And for a few reasons. One is there's 19 species of owls in North America. And since they sit atop the food chain, they represent the habitat underneath them. And so if owl populations are increasing or declining, that tells us something about the broader habitat. And in fact, if you look at every broad habitat type in North America, except alpine tundra. So if you were to look at grasslands, sage steppe, the Sonoran Desert, the dry pine forest, the wet fir forest or hemlock forest, the boreal forest, the Arctic tundra, each of these places has at least one owl that tells us about the critical elements that we need to steward.
So we have a State of the Union address. What's the state of the owls?
The state of the owls is mixed, but like much of the natural world, there's reason for concern. But I emphasize, though, that we can have a strong economy. We can have our homes. We can have our jobs. We can enjoy our lives and still have healthy owl populations. And I emphasize that because in the 1980s, with the Northern Spotted Owl Wars, as we might call them, people got the idea that I either have an owl or I have a job. Mm. And that's not the case. In fact, I'll give you an example of stage steppe and grassland habitats that host 5 or 6 species of owls. These owls, most of them, will spend their time hunting in the agricultural lands or in the ranches, but each will retreat to a unique niche to nest. And those nesting requirements can easily be met within a functional ranch or a functioning farm. It's just a matter of being aware what vegetation they need at what time of the year. The burrowing owl, for instance, studies have shown they do better around agriculture than without agriculture. But if they do not have land with burrows to nest in, if too powerful of rodenticides are used, that can spell trouble for the owl, which is, by the way, the only pest control agent a farmer could ever use that will be just as effective 10 years from now as it will be today. No rodent gets immune to the talons of the owl.
So talk about some things you, from all the intense observing, that you've observed in owl behavior that maybe is unique to them or fascinating or has really struck you.
You know, one of the things I find interesting is I'm often asked in my presentations, aren't owls nocturnal? And here you have these beautiful photos at sunset or sunrise or apparently in the middle of the day. And how do you drag this owl out of the woods in the day? And one of the fascinating things that I realized, Vern, is owls are not nocturnal. Owls are creatures of low light. And even birders tend to think of owls as being either diurnal owls, owls are out during the daytime, nocturnal owls, nighttime owls, or crepuscular owls, owls out at the beginning or the end of the day. The reality is, and I realized this when I was photographing flammulated owls in Colorado when I was speaking with a researcher, and I asked him when my peak would be to see the owls delivering prey to their nest. And flammulated owls, by the way, and they live in the pine forests around the inland northwest. He said the peak will be an hour after sunset. This is one of the most nocturnal owls. Guess what? In the same habitat, one of the most diurnal owls has a peak of an hour before sunset. So one of the most nocturnal and one of the most diurnal, the way we have placed them in these buckets, their activity periods only differ by an hour. The activity peaks. And I found that fascinating. I also found it interesting that owls hold a mythology for us. No matter the people or the culture or the continent throughout time, we've always had these powerful, mysterious beliefs about owls. Are they spirits from another world? Are they an omen? Are they a portentous sign? Is trouble coming? Is opportunity coming? And while that's fascinating and romantic, the reality of owls is much more grounded in the earth and sharing the same challenges that we faced in surviving on this land. And I think that's important because if we were to steward owls, we have to understand their needs are similar to ours. And that's really the purpose of my book, is to follow owls through. My book, An Owl, A Year in the Lives of North American Owls, is to follow owls through 4 seasons, watch their struggles, finding a mate, finding a home, raising young, helping those young gain their independence, and then surviving through the winter. And as we witness them in each season, we see that their struggles are very similar, very analogous to our own. And I think that gives us empathy for them. And I believe that we protect what we love and we love what we know. My hope is people will come to know owls more.
My guest, Paul Benick, who has written this book that he's describing, A Year in the Lives of North American Owls, with a couple presentations tomorrow at the Little Panada Theater in Sandpoint, 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So how do you present this to an audience?
Again, my aim is empathy. So I use multimedia. I use videos I've taken in the field. I use a few hundred photographs, and it's a combination of photographs from the book and then newer photographs that help explain some of the concepts in the book. but keep the program fresh so that no program is ever the same. Every program has about 30% new images in. Mm-hmm. And then the calls of each of the owl go along with the photos. And we normally have a pretty vigorous question and answer at the end so that any of you can have your owl questions answered. And there's lots of questions about owls.
Oh, but there are. This is presented, by the way, by the North Idaho Community Engagement of the Idaho Conservation League. I think that's the thing. And the Panada tomorrow at 3 and at 6 o'clock. And talk a little bit about the owls that we have, the owls that I can go outside today or go over to Coeur d'Alene or somewhere and see right in the next week or two or three.
Sure. The owls that you have in any landscape differ by season. The most common owls year-round are going to be the great horned owl, and most will recognize a great horned owl through its distinctive call, and I'll give that to you if you wish.
Please.
Hoo, 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 hoo. And sometimes the male will respond lower. Hoo, 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 hoo. Another owl that we'd have year-round but moves downslope in the winter is the northern pygmy owl. And that owl, the great horned owl, is about 4 pounds and is about the size of a large cat. The northern pygmy owl is only about 5 inches tall. And the northern pygmy owl sounds like this. It's a whistling call. We also have, in the summer, you're going to have burrowing owls in some of our areas. Mm-hmm. In the winter, in some of the wet areas in the fields, short-eared owls. You will also have flammulated owls in the pine forest, particularly where old pine mixes with old-growth Doug fir. In the mountains in the northern part of the state, for instance, up in the Kettle Range or in the Okanagan Highlands, you will have the boreal owl, which is normally a boreal native. During the winter, we'll sometimes have eruptions of snowy owls that will show up in some of our farmlands. And in areas like the Okanagan Highlands and in the Blue Mountains, we'll have great gray owls, also known as a great gray ghost, the largest owl in North America with a 5-foot wingspan and 27 inches from the top of the head to the tip of the tail. In fact, Washington State has the greatest diversity of owls of anywhere in North America. Of the 19 species we have, you can find 15 of them in this area at one time of the year or another.
Well, Paul Banik about the owls around here and then his presentation tomorrow at the Little Panada in Sandpoint at 3 and at 6. And you've spoken earlier today about the range of your interest and what you've done. You have this book about owls, so I assume that's kind of done. What's another direction that you're anticipating?
I think, Vern, that I'll go a bit deeper in owls for a little while, mainly because I've learned so much. Every time I start a book, and this is my second book, the first one was called The Owl and the Woodpecker, I set out with an idea of what that big book is going to encompass. And I always negotiate with my publisher to try to make the word requirement smaller. And I always end up exceeding what they initially proposed, simply because there is so much to learn. And one of the really exciting things for all of us is that each of us has the opportunity to learn things about owls that are not documented in the literature. And some of these things have given me ideas for additional projects. But I think for the next couple of years, I will be filling in some of the concepts I explore in the book through ongoing presentations, and I'll add in new video and images and information to tell that story and bring people along further.
Okay. And I just got handed a note. You should have corrected me. It's today, not tomorrow.
It's today, yes.
I'm sorry. Now I have to say it 10 times to undo what I just said. Today is February 10th, and so it is today at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. It's at the Little Panada in Sandpoint. Paul, who just had flown in, as it were, will be scooting right up to Sandpoint to do the presentation today at 3 and at 6. We'll say that several times more throughout the day of Owl a year in the lives of North American elves. Thank you for dropping by on your standpoint.
My pleasure. Thank you, Vern. And also thank you to the Kaniksu Land Trust, the Idaho Conservation League, and the American Heritage Wildlife Foundation, who are sponsoring this event for us tonight.
Great. Yeah, no, we certainly need to acknowledge them. So again, it is today at 3 and 6 for this event in Sandpoint.